smarterpodcasts.com, delivering sound advice.
Welcome to Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf, number 22. I'm Fred Green. Each episode, I'm joined by Kenny Nicholson, technical specialist for Edwin Watts Golf and edwinwattsgolf.com. Hey, Kenny.
Hey, Fred. How are you doing today?
All right. This is going to be fun that we're going to bring Tom back. Tom Osofsky is the senior director of product creation for TaylorMade. And we had a phenomenal conversation with him on our last episode, and he agreed to come back again to finish the conversation to talk more about new TaylorMade products. We'd like to welcome him back. Tom, thanks so much for coming back again.
Yeah, Fred and Kenny, great to talk with you guys again. I really enjoyed it last time.
And it's not just new hybrids that you're going to be launching next. Is this coming out, the end of June, or when will they be available to the consumer?
In the end of June, they should be in the stores.
Okay. And so the Rescue Hybrid is not the only thing that's going to be coming out that's new, correct?
Correct. They're accompanied by what we're naming again the Burner Fairway Woods, the 08 models. And similarly, there is two different versions. There's a high launch version and a tour launch version. And these are both going to take off from where we have been with our number one fairway woods now in the market, that are the Burner 07 models. These will have the dual crown technology. They'll also provide the two different characteristics of trajectory. And the exciting thing for us is the high launch version is actually the largest, most forgiving steel fairway wood we've ever made. And it compares in performance to some of our previous fairway woods that were made of titanium. So the benefit there is you get the performance of titanium, but at the price of steel. And so there's going to be a lot of golfers very excited when they get a chance to hit the new fairway woods, which are taking the strength from our current Burner family and just continuing that with better performance. The exciting thing also with the whole new family of Burners is just like the Tour Burner driver, we spend a lot of time on the shape and the aesthetics of what we call the address position of the golf club. The address position, as everyone probably knows, is when you got the golf ball there and you're ready to hit it, is how does that club look behind that golf ball? And one of the things that, as you guys know, the USGA has boxed us into some limits there in terms of size, shape, and volume. And so we've had a continual effort to really study how can we make the golf club look faster. And so these new family of Burner products is designed to really help the golfer when he sets that club behind the ball. It looks like it's going to be faster, and it looks like the club is going to swing itself faster. We've done that by going to a little bit more triangular shape than traditional, which gives us lots of benefits. It gives us a faster look behind the ball, as well as giving us the ability to move the center of gravity back and put the inertia at a very high level. All excellent performance differences, and the exciting new shape is going to be on all the new Burner family. So we're really looking forward to it. When the golfers get out there and get a chance to hit these products and realize that they do go farther and straighter than the product we had in the market last year.
Hey, Tom, aesthetically, you guys pay a lot of attention to how the club looks. But one thing that we've talked about in the past before that is very important is sound. And obviously, you guys take that into consideration when you're developing a new product. And is it difficult to try to get the two exactly where they need to be? I mean, from a consumer standpoint, you guys have a good feel of what that sound is, and how hard is it for you guys to accomplish that?
Yeah, that's a great question. We have some of the foremost experts in the business working at our company in our R&D group that have developed software that when we make these models of the solid models in the computer, they have analysis software that will tell us how the club is going to sound. So what they do in the design iteration process is really to go in and maybe change a little bit of the shape here or in a various place or a different way or change a curvature or add some kind of stiffening to a certain section of the club or adjust a cosmetic feature, all to produce what we consider to be the sound that golfers like. And we've had that capability over the past 6 to 7 years, and really we feel that's been one of the key things that's helped us become the metalwood leader in the golf world, is the ability to get that right sound. And I think that's feedback that we've heard from a number of people, Kenny, and that really appreciate that. We know that when a golfer hits a golf club, if it doesn't sound right, it's just not the best thing that they want to hear. They want to hear it sound solid, powerful, and feel like it's going very far, and that's what all golfers look for, and we feel we have a pretty strong edge in that area. The other thing that's kind of interesting, and we don't show too many people this, is we do a lot of things internally with these very thin structures to shape and reinforce them. And unless you were an engineer or a sound engineer, you probably wouldn't understand them. But in the end of the day, that's what gives us the great performance of the clubs in terms of the sound and feel. We know that for golfers, when they talk about feel, they're usually talking about sound. And that's just how our bodies work, is that most of what you feel is very driven by the sound. In fact, 70 to 80% is really driven by the sound of the golf club.
That's a very, very good point. And it goes back to, I mean, there's been products developed in the past that I thought were absolutely terrific products that the sound just wasn't there. And from a consumer selling standpoint, it just never took off with the marketplace. But through testing, the product was an awesome product. I mean, you knew it performed well, but sound deteriorated the sales of the product. So
we see that in all of our testing as well. And we, you know, we have a group of people who, I think my job is pretty great, but these guys probably have an even better job. They're out every day working with golfers locally here and in various areas around the country to test golf clubs. And they pretty much spend all day on the range with a number of different test clubs, you know, trying to understand how they're going to perform, getting all kinds of distance and direction feedback, sound feedback. So they have a really good job, you know, certainly when the weather's great in Southern California. And we have a full-time staff of guys, and they do a great job in terms of testing the product.
I know it doesn't make much difference when I'm out on the course hitting balls how the tour players are using product, but when I'm shopping, I know that for me and for many people, you want to know how it's doing on the tour, how the product's doing on the tour, how it's been accepted. How are things going for TaylorMade with the new products these days and the tour presence that you have?
Fred, do you look at the TV Thursday through Sunday?
No, I'm out playing golf, Kenny.
That's good, huh? I mean, all you have to do is look to see the stable of players they have out there. I mean, it's incredible what you guys have done on the tour, and you can answer that a little bit more, but it's definitely a huge presence of players out there.
Yeah, we had a great great tour staff and a great tour support staff, our sports marketing group. But we know in the end of the day that it's a service relationship that's really important, but it's also the product. And even our reps will tell us, hey, if we don't have good product, we wouldn't have guys signing up with us, and we wouldn't have guys playing and winning with our product. And I think, you know, you guys, if you watched the TPC and saw, you know, Sergio's comments at the end, you know, Sergio was already one of the best drivers of the ball in the game of golf today. And when we got him some new product, both the ball and the driver this year, it improved his performance drastically. And so, you know, we really live off of that feedback and that you know, that connection with the players, and we're out there every day trying to help them play better. So it's a great relationship. We actually get a little bit more critical in many cases about the product because we get access to what's called the Daryl survey.
We do too.
And, yeah, okay. So we actually are looking at that pretty much as soon as it pops up Thursday evening and, you know, seeing who put the new product into play, trying to understand, you know, a few of the guys that we work with, why they didn't go into play, and getting the feedback, and getting ready for the next week. So we're probably a little bit more keen on that on Thursday. And then certainly every day of the week, we have a number of TVs in the office. We don't have them on all the time, or we wouldn't get anything done. But occasionally for the big events, we'll get some groups in the conference rooms, you know, with the TV on, with the sound off in the background. So it's certainly a lot of fun to do that. The exciting thing certainly is watching them on Sunday. And, you know, when you got guys in the hunt, and, you know, they're playing a new product or one of the longtime staff guys are doing very well, we're cheering hard for them. And, you know, it's a lot of fun to do that. It really ties us in very closely to those players and how well they're performing. And it was fun. We were out this week. You know, I spoke to a number of players. And the players out there, especially the Modern Tour player, they're very keen on trying to find something that makes the game better for them. So even the top players in the game are continually, like you all know, they're working on their swing, they're working on their equipment, and you know they're fairly demanding when we show them some new product. When can I put this in play? Oh, you know, well, next week till we get the USGA approval. Oh, I want to put it in play today. It really works better. So they're very anxious, and for us that creates certainly some challenges and some stress internally. But we got great feedback this week on the new fairways and rescues. We only had three woods out there this week, and I think we're going to have two in play. You may look for Sean O'Hare and John Mallinger. We're very excited about the products. Again, two young guns are doing very well, and we're very keen, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them playing the new fairways. We also had some of the new rescues out there, and there'll probably be a few of those in play. The challenge for us when we go out with these new products, most people wouldn't understand, but you go out there with three clubs, and you got 15 guys that'll want to play it right away. So the challenge is us to, hey, these are prototypes. We're just trying to work with them, get your feedback. We need to get everybody hit them this week. And at the end of the week, we'll put your name on it, and if you want to use it, you're welcome to. But that challenge is tough because these guys sometimes will want to just sort of put it in their bag and not give it back to you. It's that critical to what they think about their game and how they want to improve their game. So we only had three fairways. We had about six or seven rescues, and we may get a couple of those in play. But everybody was very pleased with the performance, and they want to put them, let's say it as under the gun in battle to see how they're really going to perform. And we're very confident right now at the launch of these that they're going to do very well.
Yeah, I think with them, it comes down to the same thing as a manufacturer. It affects the bottom line, right, Tom? So
well, everything at the end of the day, affects their bottom line.
Right.
How they play and how well they feel about their equipment. So that's critical to them in their day-to-day life. So they're very excited about it, and it's really fun to be a part of. I'm very pleased and lucky to be able to get to do that once in a while.
Tom, Kenny's in the retail part of it, and you're in the production side of it, and I'm just a lonely old consumer here. I'm sorry, I'm going to go back for a second. I don't know what the Darrell Survey is. Can you please explain that?
Oh, sure. The Darrell Survey, there's a company called the Darrell Survey Company. There are a group of people that will go at the tour events into the player's bag on Thursday, right before they tee off, and record every piece of equipment they're using. And that's and they catalog that every event for every player. They do almost all of the tours around the world. And there is access for the internal golfers like us to be able to see this information on a website. And so that information is used for any number of things, certainly for us to see who's playing what products, and to help to make sure that the players that are being played for certain products are in those products. That was really how it was developed by the Darrell Survey people. But it's also used now heavily in advertising. And so things like the number one driver on tour, number one fairway on tour, all those claims now have to be supported by Darrell Survey information, and that's run through our legal department. So we have to be very connected with the Darrell Survey people in terms of how they report their information, how timely it is, and then we use that in advertising. We use that in our promotion of our product, and a number of people in the retail side also use that information very actively to understand how product is doing and what's hot and successful out there. So
Fred, it's a non-biased way of doing it, and we look at it in our pre-book area for buying golf clubs. What's usually going to be successful on tour is usually what's going to be successful in the retail side of it as well. So it's something that we pay attention to on a regular basis as well.
Do you have to pay to subscribe to it, or is the information available to consumers?
It's a purchase.
A paid subscription.
Oh, well. Yep. You're just going to have to report back to us then, Kenny.
I can do that.
Tom, one of the questions that we get all the time about all the different woods and rescue clubs and irons and drivers, everything, is about the shafts and people wanting to change shafts, and how do they select a shaft, and should I use the shaft that the OEM is distributing on their club? How do you guys determine which shafts that you've put on these new clubs?
Well, that's a continual challenge for us because there is innovation in shafts every year, and there's a lot of shaft manufacturers out there with new product that we're interested in working with. There's also a lot of interest, obviously, from the consumer side. So the challenge there really from an internal designer standpoint is we try and pick a target demographic for a line of clubs. And let's say, for instance, that club is going to be played by 0 to 20 handicappers. They want distance, but they don't want a lot of, let's say, a neutral bias club. We actually will go out and find those golfers and test with them with shaft specifications that we think will be close to the right spec. And what we do through that testing process is find out what feels good, what works good, what hits it farther, all the things that you would test for in performance. And then we develop that as the specification for that golf club to work with that head over a wide range of players that we're looking to target. Now, the challenge there is, I think we're up to about 88,000 swings on our internal mat swing system where we put golfers in a video system and analyze their swings. So there's like 88,000 swings we've got in there.
Wow.
And the challenge is there's different swings out there in the marketplace. So we know that when we pick a target shaft and head spec and provide that to the population, we know that we're probably going to hit 70 to 80% of the golfers are going to fit well into that spec, and it's going to be the best shaft for them. So what we're trying to do is design the performance and the quality level so that for that percentage, most of those golfers are going to be pretty happy with that club, and it's going to be better than any other combination we could give them. And that's based on our extrapolation of the testing feedback. We do know out there, though, that there are some golfers that are going to benefit from either a lighter shaft or a heavier shaft or a firmer tip or a softer tip or any of these combinations. So we provide access to that through our SelectFit system, and our SelectFit system is out there in the marketplace where you can actually change the head and the shaft and have the golfer hit shots with it and maybe test them on a launch monitor and help them get to the right shaft for their game. But it is a challenge because we know that there's a lot of different swings out there. So we provide custom options, and I know people like Edwin also provide a service where they'll change shafts for golfers. It's not an exact science. We're trying to make it an exact science to say, Mr. Jones, when you come in and swing and we measure your swing, this is the right shaft for you. We can't predict that yet because the golf club and the golfer are really an interactive machine. The golfer will swing the club differently depending on how it feels to him, or how it looks to him, or sound, or all these other things. So the challenge there is in an interactive system like that, you can't nail it down exact science. So we provide options. It works that way on tour and in the market. Players looking for the best shaft for their game and the best combination. We think that, again, like I said, when we target a golfer population, we think that our spec that we pick usually hits at least 70 to 80%, and that's sort of our target, is trying to make sure that we hit the majority of that spec. But we know that because golfers want other shafts and other performances, we make that available to them. And the challenge there is certainly how do we make the ball go longer and straighter every time? And then for each individual golfer, the best way to do that is to go through a fitting with a trained professional like they have at Edwin there that do fitting, and as well as other on the golf courses and shops around the world. Those people know how clubs perform. They know what works for golfers with different swings, and that's really the best way to do it. In fact, even our internal engineers and tour reps, they still will have someone else help them with a fitting to say, okay, here's my numbers. What do you think about this shaft? And it's really about how do you like the feel of the club and how does it perform with you? And you can't separate those two completely to make the best golf club and the best fit for the most distance.
So, hey, Fred, perfect example. I was right before the show, I was back on our About Golf simulator hitting a driver, exact same loft, 9.5 degrees. And it was the same manufacturer but had two different shafts in it. And literally, it was 28 yards difference. I hit three balls with each driver, and the average was about 28 yards difference. And it had to do with launch angle and spin rate.
Really?
One shaft fit me much better than the other shaft. The launch was lower and too much spin on one of the drivers. And the one that got me the correct launch, I think it was 13.2 degrees launch angle and about 2,700 RPM spin rate, was 28 yards average past the other driver. So it's a perfect example. We do that in our retail stores. We talk about it a lot on the show. If you have the ability to get fit on some type of launch monitor, it would behoove you to do that because at the end of the day, we'll be able to get you in the correct product and feel extremely confident that we were able to provide you with the best product available.
Yeah, well, 28 yards is going to sell different product, no question about it.
Well, and I'm not, I mean, I'm in the golf business. I'm just saying.
And you hit the ball a ton.
Yeah, one shaft fit me really good. The other shaft was 180 degrees from the correct shaft for me. But I'm just saying, typically what you might find in somebody wanting to get fit for a driver is going to be 5 to 8 yards, and your off-center dispersion is going to be a little bit less. So, I mean, that's an extreme what I was using, but it's a perfect example on what you can get with two different drivers. If you're the guy out there and you know you're in the wrong product, then you definitely need to try to get into the correct product, and the best way to do that is to try to get on some type of launch monitor. And all of our stores have those.
I'd like to ask Tom another question about the new products that are coming out, the Fairway Woods and the Rescue Clubs. I currently carry 4 wedges in my bag, but I carry a driver and a hybrid. And I'm really kind of at odds whether I should be carrying a fairway wood. I don't have room for it. Should I get rid of my hybrid, which I really enjoy? But how should a consumer know whether they should be picking or how many, you know, fairway woods and hybrids or either or? What would you give advice to the consumer out there who's going to play on a regular basis, not playing competitively, but, you know, loves to play but doesn't know what to carry in their bag because now there's so many good choices available?
Yeah, that's one of the challenges that we have certainly today with all the great products is how do you make up your bag? And, you know, I was just doing some research on the tour players as well because we have that same question with them. And, you know, some guys carry fairway woods, some guys carry hybrids, some guys still carry the 2 and 3 iron. So, you know, it's really an individual setup, and I would recommend for all golfers the best thing to do is, you know, try and understand where your weaknesses are. You know, if you're very happy in your case with your rescue and you hit great shots and it does everything you want, you don't have any big yardage gaps, you know, you may not need to change that. The challenge of golf is always how do you score? And, you know, your solution with 4 wedges is a pretty good one. Depends on what course you play. You know, if you play, your regular course and, you know, you don't have a lot of really long holes and you got to be more accurate with the short clubs, that makes a big difference. So I think every golfer has to look at their individual game, where they play, and where their weaknesses are to see what they have to fit. And that's one of the other things that we haven't boiled down to a real scientific method, if you will, is to try and help golfers understand what they want in their game. For instance, a lot of players on tour this week at Colonial, since it's a little windy there, you know, their comments were they're moving to clubs or selections in their bag that, you know, may be a little less spinny, but still they want to hit the shots that they need to hit around that course because you have to maneuver it. You know, where a course, for instance, like where they're going to play next week in Ohio, you won't have much wind there, but you need a club that you can hit higher and land softly to hold green. So there's guys that kind of go back and forth depending on what their course conditions are that they're playing. Now, again, these are the best players in the world, but I think for most golfers, the best way to do that is, you know, connect with, you know, what's missing in your game, where are your weaknesses, look at your scores, you know, are you missing greens, you're missing fairways, or is it, you know, that approach shot or something on par 5 for a second shot. I think there's so many good choices. And I have the same problem. You know, I really like, you know, in my game, I spend most of my time on woods, but, you know, I hit my 3-iron pretty good, and I like rescues, and I have a 5-wood. So depends sort of on where I'm playing and how I'm feeling that day, which one I'll put in the bag. I don't have a real good answer there, but the best way to do is figure out where your opportunities are and try and understand, hey, do I have a big gap between my wood and my rescue and my irons? Is that where I'm losing shots? Or in your case, do I need the 4th wedge because I have, you know, pot bunkers or, you know, fast hard greens or something like that? And that's what the tour players do. You know, they look at where they're playing and what their conditions are and fit everything to their game. The tricky part of it out there is, and we've had this challenge with particularly the rescues, is when we first launched the rescues, they were going a little bit farther than comparable long irons for most players. And after some study, we concluded that the main reason they go farther is because they're easier to hit. And when you're trying to hit a 3-iron versus, say, a 3-rescue, you miss hit on your 3-iron, you lose a lot of yardage. And you miss hit on your rescue, you don't lose as much yardage. So part of that challenge is, you know, we could make the rescue kind of go the same distance as your 3-iron, that you didn't hit very good, but then it wouldn't be very exciting to you. So there's always a challenge of how you gap your clubs and make sure. Now, the other thing that's different between most of us and tour players is, you know, the tour players, they're setting up these courses now where these guys really got to, you know, they're trying to make them hit long irons and certain clubs. So they need to be pretty accurate and pretty consistent with their longer clubs. I would think most of us golfers out there really need to have something that we can hit great out of the fairway, you know, in that category, if that's not a strength for you, and really, you know, focus on keeping your scoring potential very high by taking care of your miss hits. And that's where the rescues do much better than long irons. And we think that, you know, pretty much every amateur out there above a 5 handicap should have at least two rescues in their bag. They're just so much easier to hit. You can do everything you need to with them, and you can do things like chip with them and all those other special uses that it's a great benefit to all golfers. And we found in many cases when you get one in the bag for a golfer, then they get another one and another one, and many are playing with two or three now. So that, I think that's a big I think that's the big innovation of the past 5 years, other than certainly a lot of innovation in the business, but certainly the hybrid clubs that are playable for all golfers have been probably the biggest improvement you know, we've seen in the set composition there. So that's my best advice. I know that's not a real easy, straightforward answer, but the challenge there is every golfer is unique, and we got to find the right one for your individual game, and that's going to be the best for you.
So what you're saying is, even though you have to carry 14 clubs in your bag, you don't have to have 14 clubs in your garage.
That's right. We would, you know, we recommend, and certainly I've
20,
been,
30 clubs.
I've been accused of being, what would you say? I don't know what the right word is, but, you know, I think that, you know, in many cases, if your problem in golf is a certain shot, get something to fix that shot. And if your problem is only on certain courses or certain windy days or something like that, get clubs to help you do that. You know, you're not forced to play with the same stuff. You have those choices. And I've played a number of rounds because I'm sort of a fade player. I played a number of rounds where I have, you know, my regular driver, and I played a course where I have to draw some tee shots, and I can't do it. So what I do is I get that same golf club, and I move the weights around and set it up so it's easy to draw, and I carry two drivers. Because for me, the difference is, and again, that's my weakness in my game, is if I can't play those few holes well, my miss on those few holes when I'm trying to hit a draw and I can't, is I'm going to either be into trees or in a hazard or out of bounds. And those are a couple shots. So if I can move my set around to take care of that issue on that course, I'm going to shoot better on that course.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do, Fred. I mean, if I know I'm playing a particular course that I've played before, I just try to set my bag up to my strengths. If it's a real long course where I know I'm going to be using longer irons or needing some more longer clubs in the bag, I'll do that, and I'll take one of the wedges out. So it's a perfect example of just knowing where you're going to be playing and trying to get the clubs that are going to benefit you the most, you know, for that round of golf. And a perfect example, there's new drivers out where you can swap shafts fairly easy now. And if you know you're playing a windy day and you want to bring the trajectory down, get a shaft that has a stiffer tip, you know, just things like that you can do that'll benefit you in the round of golf. So,
well, that was like the advice that we received from Rock Ishii from Nike about balls, the director of golf ball development for Nike, who said, depending on the rating slope and length of a course, depends on which ball he's going to play. You know, you really should know what you're going to be playing that day, you know, if you've played the courses before, and then decide what to bring with you, whether it's, you know, on balls or clubs, right?
Yeah, and minimum garage. We don't have a minimum set in the garage category, right, for golf clubs. So I say 30 to 50 is fine there. 14 in your bag is great, but 30 to 50 in your garage at all times.
Tom's not going to disagree with you on that.
Yeah,
as long as they're tailor-made clubs.
You're correct. Well, Tom, thanks a million. It's been an absolute treat. And again, as always, when we talk to you engineers out there, I learned something new, and definitely appreciate you being with us today.
Well, no problem. We really get satisfaction out of making lots of happy golfers out there, and the happier we can make them, the happier we are.
Tom, you have been an incredible wealth of information. We really appreciate it, and we appreciate the fact that you gave away one club last time. Is it okay this time? Can we give away a fairway wood, one of the brand new ones?
Well, we'd love to have another golfer out there playing a great new Burner Fairway Woods for 08, and no problem with that.
Now, again, these products are just going to be hitting the market any day now, but you have a chance to win one yourself. So, Tom, thanks again. We really appreciate this.
Guys, I enjoyed it a lot, and next time we'll talk about how many clubs are in the garage as well. I like that thread. I'm going to definitely raise the average there for you know, what Kenny was saying about most consumers needing in their garage. So continue that one next time.
Well, maybe we'll have people getting pictures from their garage in our contest.
Oh, I'm sure.
Okay, well, at this point, we'd be choosing a winner with Kenny for the TaylorMade Burner Rescue 2, but we're not going to do that today. No, we had a technical glitch, and most of your entries did not get registered. It's all fixed now. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to extend the chance for you to win this club for another 2 weeks. And we're also going to give you the chance to win a TaylorMade Burner Fairway Wood. Now, we'll announce both winners on our next episode of Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf. Deadline for entries for either TaylorMade club is June 24th, 2008. Now, here's what you need to do. Go to golfsmarter.com and click on the contest tab. Once there, you'll see that there are numerous prizes that we're currently giving away on both Golf Smarter and Golf Better. If you'd like to be eligible for each prize, you must enter separately. You can enter as often as you like, but that may not increase your chances of winning. Your choice. Don't worry about it. Just keep going. Again, to go to golfsmarter.com and click on contest. Also, while you're there, check out the blog. The Golf Smarter blog has details on all of our golf podcasts, comments from listeners on the blog entries, photos, videos, and a whole lot more. Now, since this program is being brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf, as a listener to the podcasts, you receive a 10% discount and free shipping on your purchases from Edwin Watts Golf. There are limited restrictions, but you can get all the information on how to receive your discounts and free shipping when you click on the Click Here for More Info at golfbetterpodcast.com. Our new checkout code is GBETTER1. That's the numeral 1, the letter G, the word better, and the numeral 1 all strung together, GBETTER1. Thanks again for listening. Please join us again in 2 weeks for another episode of Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf.